All right. That's Benny Golson and his quintet with My Blues House. Curtis Fuller on trombone, Ray Bryant on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Art Blakey on drums. The legendary tenor saxophonist, or saxophonist, whichever way you wish to pronounce it, composer and arranger Benny Golson and his quintet. This is from Golson's 1959 album, The Essential Benny Golson. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we start a whole new week. And lots to talk about. We're going to go a little free of format today, just to keep up with where we're going on this day. I'm not among those celebrating Columbus Day today. I've done quite a bit of running lectures on Christopher Columbus, and you should have a pretty good stash of such lectures, principally by my friend. I must say how privileged I was to be his friend. And I'm choking up now because it all comes to a head sometimes, quite unexpectedly. But we ran several of his lectures, Dr. Ivan van Sertima, and even by my other friend, Professor Jan Carew. Both are gone now. But we shared enough of the information that they had to offer and which should cause us to keep an arm's length from that habit that we have of every year attributing the discovery of America, and more than that, the discovery of the whole region by Christopher Columbus. I just didn't feel in the mood to do that today. So I think I would recommend that you go back to those lectures, revisit them. They're evergreens. They would last a long time. And they have so much information. There are other things, too, that came out that haven't really been discussed. But the main things have been discussed about, here's a guy who didn't know where he was going when he left, didn't know where he was when he got there, and basically invented a whole different story about how what he got and what he found out when he got back home. One of the few adventurers and explorers that I know of who never set foot on the land he supposedly discovered. But, you know, people need to have their heroes. And for many in the United States, this is a heroic person. So I feel okay with it if they wish to continue celebrating a person who didn't achieve at all what it is he's credited with achieving. So I'm taking the leave of that pattern. I think we've done enough on that. And I think the best lectures that we have had on this subject has been from Ivan van Sertima. Very thorough, very comprehensive and very revealing, as a matter of fact. His research still stands, in my view, to be the best on Christopher Columbus. But today we're going to be talking about something else, and that something else has to do with where we are as a nation and the fact that a particular question is being avoided, very strenuously being avoided. Is Donald Trump succeeding at creating a parallel presidency? I talked about that quite some time ago when the indications were there that that's what he was doing. I don't know how it struck you, but that's how it struck me, and I shared it. I pointed out to the fact that Donald Trump has clearly serious mental issues and has gotten away with it and continues to get away with it. It seems as if the word is out. He's not to be touched. Leave him alone. Let him do whatever he wants to do. He can play president if he wants to. And he can do whatever he wants to do, no matter how devastating it is to the country and the interests of the country. So is he succeeding at creating this parallel presidency that I talked about so long ago, and that he also is creating this parallel political reality? And that political reality, again, places him at the center of our political system. He's at the center of it. He has no reason to be. He was not reelected. And yet, we get a daily accounting from a sycophantic press. What is on his mind today? What will be on his mind tomorrow? What does he want to accomplish? What does he want to do? Take the nation along what line? They've not stopped covering Donald Trump as a president of the United States. I don't know what he has on people, but he must have something, because they seem terrified at confronting the reality we all now are embedded in. We cannot discuss the future of our nation. We cannot discuss national issues. We cannot discuss what it is we need to do to move forward without wanting to know, what does Donald think? That's quite, I'm saying this facetiously, but that is quite an accomplishment. There may be many reasons for it. I think you get a sense immediately what some of those things could be. But this is outrageous. This is outrageous. Even Biden seems unwilling to engage. He's taking a decidedly low profile. Doesn't want to raise any dust. He's afraid of agitating Trump's followers. Trump has basically taken this country over. He already took the Republican Party over. Remember, when I said it, people thought I was crazy. So they just took it over. Nobody in Republican land has yet mounted a sufficient opposition to that, as if it's his personal possession. He's doing what he wants with the party. He's making policy. He is crafting the future of America from his own head with ideas of his own. And he's being left alone to do it. And worse, people are adoringly waiting for him to just make any announcement as to what he has finally decided. This is insane. And what is even more insane is that there's no opposition. We do not see opposition that in any event, meaningful opposition. I'm not talking about one person over here and another person over there. There is no movement against what has happened and continues to happen, which is the hijacking of a political process and the hijacking of a nation. I don't know what has happened. Have we all been drinking some kind of tainted water? Is this, I have to ask, is this jab that they're talking about, is there something in it that dulls our brains? Are we the walking dead? You mean there is no serious public outcry yet? What are you waiting for? What else should Trump do to cause alarm? What else should he do to bring to people's attention that this is a very serious issue, a very serious matter? And he's not hiding. He's doing it out in the open. And people love him. Or put another way, the people who do not like him and do not like what he's doing aren't loud enough. They're not saying anything. They're just letting him go. Give him more rope. Let him be comfortable expanding his insanity. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I don't want to talk about Christopher Columbus. It was a fake, a fraud, and a phony. It has been unmasked. It has been confirmed. And we really don't need to waste time with people who did such incredible damage to the world. I raise it because, well, of course, today is the day that he was given. But it's also that there is a continuity between the attitudes and the actions of a Christopher Columbus and those of the president, the former president. There's no reason that he should be so comfortable. Donald Trump should be the most uncomfortable man in the world right now, and he isn't. And so we should be asking, what is it that we are doing or not doing? How is this? How much further can this go before it explodes? And if and when it explodes, what will that look like? What would be the consequences of that? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We're dead. You know, we're just dead. We keep thinking somebody will fix it. And we keep waiting for that person to fix it. No person has stepped forward so far. But we keep waiting and hoping and praying that somebody will step forward and be the hero and fix this. And then we'll all fall in line. But nobody so far is making individual plans. Nobody has reoriented themselves, it seems, that this is unacceptable. This is not a democratic society. It is not upholding or living up to the tenets of democracy. Why are we continuing to kid ourselves? Nobody is critical of Donald Trump to speak of in a systemic way. Nobody is doing it. So it must mean that they're okay with everything he's doing and saying. It was revealed today in news reports that he had his daughter pegged to be the head of the World Bank. And it almost happened. Had it not been for the intercession of Joe Manchin, who just could not tolerate this insanity, and he interfered with that plan. But imagine that. Imagine waking up one morning and the head of the World Bank is somebody with, what, two brain cells. But she is in a position of power because daddy put her there. And daddy has put a lot of other people where they want to be and where he wants them to be. He has a plan. Gwen from New York, you start us off today.
Hi, Eatrice.
Oh.
I just wanted to say I did see Trump on TV this weekend. And I do find it troubling, but I also want to say I think people need to look further back than Trump and see why Trump is being allowed to get this kind of propaganda and coverage. And I think it has a lot to do, and I am not anti-Semitic, but I think we don't want to recognize the players in the big game. And I think Israel has a lot to do with the big game in the United States. And I think that Israel is not happy with Joe Biden pulling out of Afghanistan. And I think they are not happy with the talks that Biden wants to have with Iran in terms of the nuclear weapons. And I think that when you see Trump given airtime and then you see Democrats, I mean, especially since Joe Biden is really pretty new in the job. I mean, you know, he's only what, here 8 months. So when you hear other Democrats really, really boldly going after him on TV, like Rachel Maddow and other political pundits, then you have to look behind the mask and see what is motivating this speech and what is motivating the allowance of Trump to take up the airtime. I mean, there are many, many protests that happened that are much bigger than his rally that never got coverage, and they never will get coverage because the media decides they don't want to cover this kind of an event, and they don't want to make other people know that events out there, this kind of event is out here. So before I get like all uptight about Trump, I mean, Trump on paper isn't really a lot different. I mean, he was pro-vaccine. He helped along the pandemic. He got rid of the people. There was a small group of people at the CDC that were supposed to be watching out for these things. He did that. He did a lot more to me, to a regular American life that hurt a lot of people. I've already discussed that with you, like the Clean Water Act and, of course, his outright racism. It's weird when people ask me about the vaccine and think I have two heads. I equally can't understand how nice folks could vote for Donald Trump. Can't they see that he's an unabashed racist? That's the first thing right off the bat. He's totally a racist. And so, and also, he's not very smart, but I don't think you have to be smart. I don't think you have to be mentally present for this job. I just think you have to be a suit and you have to be willing to go along with the bigger powers to be. this country is not run by the people, and it's not seen over by the president. It's run by the CIA. It's run by the FBI. It's run by the deep state for the most part.
You know,
they make the decisions for us.
I have to come in here. It is a fact, it seems to me, it is a fact that the government has been hijacked.
Yes, it
by Donald Trump.
He's a piece. He's the front man. He's the front man. Why do you
Whether
think
he's a front
so
man or the back man, he is the man.
He's a butt.
He
he's
has
a butt
done it. Yes, he has succeeded in supplanting a democratic, at least we thought it was, a democratic mm-hmm. system. He has taken over everything. He's running everything mm-hmm. by himself.
Right. But you know, the media giveth and taketh away, right? So for a long time, he couldn't get any airtime on TV after Biden had come in. But it's just recently that Biden has made two very important decisions, and that's one, to pull us out of Afghanistan, and the other one is to continue with the Iran non-proliferation talks. So as those two things happen, and he didn't seem to be backing down from them, all of a sudden Trump has reemerged on your TV set, taking up major airtime, getting plenty of PR. And then you start to hear other Democrats go after Biden, and you have to ask yourself, well, what's motivating this? Because remember, when Trump left office, everybody closed the door on him. You know, Twitter closed the door on him. All of the TV wasn't playing him anymore. And now all of a sudden, it's been generously opened up again. And this is really interesting. How is a guy who's
because
not the president?
It's money. He's buying what he needs. He has raised or continues to raise the money he needs to get done those things that he needs to get done. Biden is acting like he has no energy left, that he doesn't know what to do.
I think that Biden would be, I think in some respects that Biden is absolutely not going to take this on because it does embolden Trump. You got to remember, good attention and bad attention are the same thing. And this is what a lot of the people that are out there would like to see. They'd like to see, like, two dogs in a ring fighting. But I don't think it would help
Biden.
I'm
not calling for two dogs in a ring. It's like Biden is, does he know he's president?
Well, he did say
that there are certain things that he needs to be in front of, not just for this nation, but for the world to see. Does he get it yet that he's a leader?
I think he does.
And and leaders lead?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that Biden, as I said, is not going to draw a lot of attention to this because of Trump. But I do want to say that he did something very surprising. Most former presidents do get to have executive privilege. And Biden did pull that away from him. So they are going to be able to investigate what happened in the insurrection. And Trump won't have anything to cover him. He does not get that.
This is not about the insurrection. The insurrection is at the tail end of what has happened here.
Yeah, but
Trump
they're still there.
Systematically
they're
and
there.
Methodically has dismantled the political system as we know it. And he's operating it according to what he wants to happen. He's making it real. Nothing is preventing Biden from acting like he's the leader because he is, but I don't see it. I don't see Biden out there communing with the people. And he knows very well what the threat is. I said even before the election, Donald Trump is organizing a parallel presidency. I may have sounded like a nut, but look what has happened.
No, it's happening. It's happening.
It has happened.
It has happened.
He has organized a parallel presidency so that technically, the country is bifurcated right now.
But we haven't seen this kind of craziness
going on for a very long time. We haven't seen it at this intensity. So we have to step up to the plate ourselves as citizens to say, what the hell is going on here? And it's got to be fixed. We can't continue with this pretending that, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of noise for a while, but everything will settle down and return to normal. There is no normal anymore. That's my whole point. Trump has essentially, he has performed a coup d'etat. Now, that may sound completely out of bounds to most people, but you look at it and see. He has plugged his people in strategically where they need to be so that he gets his thing done. He has organized an alternative political system. It's this business of Republicans and Democrats. They're over it. They're playing a whole different game, and we haven't caught on to it yet. Trump is in charge. Nobody on the Republican side, let's say, has stood up and said, nope, this doesn't in any way come close to resembling the Republican Party that we know. He destroyed it. There's no more old-fashioned Republican Party. All you have to do is to come up with an idea and you flag it. And Trump says yes or he says no. That's how it's working now. It's been working like that.
Right.
The whole political system has been hijacked, and people are still walking around as if everything is normal. You don't even get it. But we will get it soon because it will fully manifest itself. And then people are going to be stunned at the degree to which the system has been corrupted and hijacked and completely thrown out. They're playing politics right now, but the most important things that need to be done have already been done. Trump is the master of the Republican Party. He controls all the Republicans. There are no Republicans now talking about what ought to be in law and order. You're not hearing that kind of conversation because it is irrelevant. He approves or he disapproves. That's how it's running. He is the capo di tutti capi right now. And we don't seem to understand the serious situation that we're in. The man is deranged, has been for years, and he's in charge.
Well,
the whole world confesses that he's in charge. Thanks for getting us started today, Gwen. Thank you for your call. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Ed.
Yeah, can you hear me, Chief? How are you doing?
Yes, I can hear you. Okay.
How are you? Good.
I'm hanging in.
You're getting well-developed thumbs, like myself.
I think so. I think that's it.
I agree with you on one hand, and I disagree with you only for the fact that this political system was busted long before Trump got in there, and Trump basically stepped into a vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum, and he's filling the vacuum that is the Republican Party. But there's a countermanding vacuum that is the Democratic Party. The whole system itself is completely corrupt. And I honestly believe that we're at the end of the American century. We're at the end of the 500-year experiment. We have disaffected leaders. Biden, to me, is a joke. What got him into office, he didn't stand behind. He can't even corral his own party to push his policy through. He's got to. His history has always been a servant of empire, a servant of capitalism. And that being said, the Republican Party was a dead elephant, and Trump basically just stepped into the position. And with his 73 million alleged voters, he's setting himself up for the next big presidential run. You got to take a serious look at the midterms, see what happens with that, because these legislators are not in the business of politics. The government has been disaffected, and we'll have to see how the voter turnout is. Historically, when one party wins the presidency, they lose in the midterms. And if this party loses in the midterms, then it's prime for Trump to make his move. And we could have another freaking Trump empire if we're not careful. But
wait a minute. What do you mean we could? You don't think Trump has already changed things?
I mean,
changed the whole political equation.
He's put things into position, and the possibility exists that he could change the political equation. Like I said, he's made maneuvers that people haven't been paying attention to, and he's a story, and the media, if it bleeds, it leads, and they report on everything he does. What I'm saying is that the Democrats have the opportunity. They are the only viable opposition at this point, and unfortunately, they don't have any opposition. They can't direct their force. They can't use their legislative block. They can't. They have Manchin and other people making. They have one or two individuals making decisions for them. They couldn't. They just kicked the debt ceiling down the road. I mean, it's business as usual, and business as usual has not been the business of government. And as long as that continues,
as usual, Ed, you have to agree. Even for the short time that they've been enacting their plan, it's working like a charm. They've created a whole new economic class among themselves. They're directing the resources of the whole to a few. They're doing a lot of interesting things that do not closely resemble anything that we know as politics. Okay, so we understand that politics is give and take, and you know, you have cabals that are formed and people who have preferential treatment and all this other kind of stuff. But I'm talking about a sea change here. This is not a system where the public is expected to exercise individual thought and their minds. This is get in line. This is what you have to do. Go to the voting machine and press this and click that, and then you would have been in a good new Republican. This is terrifying. I think that Trump has succeeded in broad daylight of hijacking the whole political system. Well, and people are acting as if they're so afraid they don't want to say anything.
I don't believe that's only the case. I mean, the political system has been broken for years now. I mean, we don't live in a democracy anymore. We live in an oligarchy. And there are a few groups, and specifically now individuals, with large amounts of capital that control the ebb and flow of this political system, Democrat, Republican, and that's the way it's always been. And every once in a while, a figurehead rises up from Clinton to Obama to Bush to even Trump himself. And the real brains behind this political machination are Davos, are the World Bank, are the Elon Musk and all of these allegorical people that control the capital and that control the media and that present a picture to you of quote unquote politics. And he's just, I mean, for all of his machinations, he's just a pawn in what I believe to be a larger game that involves a lot of stuff.
And but he played and is continuing to play his role so well. I maintain that we have already seen a takeover of our political system. We just don't think so. We don't want to admit it.
Well, I mean,
but there has been a hijacking of the political system.
Well, most people aren't aware of it because, to be honest with you, there's been a dumbification of America as far as politics, as far as ethics, as far as civic duties and government responsibilities. So it's easy to steal candy from a baby, and that's what's been done. And there are a few pockets of awareness here and there, but the hijack already took place.
Wow.
I mean, it's already done. I mean, now we're seeing the aftermath.
I don't know where this is going to end up, but it is not going to be pretty. And I get angrier and angrier as the days go by with Biden. My God, we have no other third party that's effective. Let's just say that. It's still back now to Democrats, Republicans. There isn't a third party that at this point has amassed enough power to be effective as a third party, giving people choice. It doesn't exist. So what do people do?
Well, like I've always said, all politics is local. There are local movements. There are local initiatives here in New York City, in Chicago, and in Alabama. If you look around the country, and they are issue-related movements, but there's got to be a cohesion to where they join together. In recent history, I can say the closest thing that I've seen in recent history is the Tea Party, a bunch of local movements that got together and that changed the political structure of the South to where they could get their people in key positions and control the legislature. You had Newt Gingrich, you had all that. I mean, that's what it's going to have to come to, because national politics on a national level, you're not going to be effective. There's too much money, there's too much power, and there's too much isolation. And the only effective way that I can see is strong local movements banding together through use of this new technology, internet, Facebook, Twitter, all that, banding together and creating a consensus that moves through the country. And it's going to take time. It's going to take work. But you're not going to get it on a national level.
That's my point. We have lost a lot of time. And let's see whether anything now could come of it this late in the game. This is late in the game of organizing at that level.
Well,
you got to go with what you have, and what you have isn't pretty.
You got to start. You got to start somewhere.
Yes, I agree. Jeremiah from Harlem, you're on the air.
Well, I know the answer. You're hanging in there. We're all hanging in there at this moment. Well, I just have to say, you know, I've made similar comments on your program before, and I'll reference right away Malcolm X, who made the analogy of the northern fox and the southern wolf in the context, I guess, of some of the liberals in politics in his day who were giving at least lip service to civil rights ideas, and then you had the Southern Wolves who were just outright denying people's rights and wanted to practice segregation. And, you know, I think that paradigm is playing out fully at this moment. And at this point, it's like a horse race where, you know, Northern Fox is taking the lead, basically. Like, you know, my father, who was also a civil rights activist, he was actually a horse player. And I can almost hear the voice in my head, Northern Fox is taking the lead, Northern Fox, because my entire life, the Republican Party have been the bigger of the two boogeymen. And at this point in my life, as a matter of fact, I consider the Republicans the lesser of the two evils at this point. And it doesn't mean I'm identifying with Republican ideology or that I think anything better of them whatsoever. I still find them to be hideous and heinous. But the Democrats are actually attacking the citizens with these mandates. For example, 72,000 workers, healthcare workers, who were heroes last year, dumped on the streets pretty much and denied unemployment insurance to make it that much crueler, the predicament they're put in, which raises the question, at what point have the unvaccinated been punished enough? Because if you're saying they don't even deserve unemployment insurance after being heroes last year and putting themselves in harm's way, and they don't want to take these fast-tracked injections for whatever their various reasons, whether they be religious, medical, or otherwise, and that's completely disrespected. And basically, what the left has done, and I don't even know where to draw the line between the left and the new hashtag synthetic left, but the synthetic left, at least, and actually, you know, what can we say? The left itself have allowed the right wing to co-opt the major, major human rights issues of body autonomy and free speech. Suddenly, censorship is a new liberal practice that must be practiced adamantly. Actually, one commentator called it common sense censorship. And, you know, I think at this point, I'm literally surveying, are there any red states that I could move to? I'm not particularly looking forward to it, but I don't know if I can continue to exist in New York. I don't know how long, and I'm not expecting that these mandates are just going to go away because they implemented them so easily and they pushed all this stuff through so easily. I don't know if I want to live in a city that is practicing this kind of culture, that you need to show a card to get into a restaurant or a movie theater or what have you, and just all the policing that that implies, which I don't think a lot of people think about putting.
I want to ask you about the question at the top of the hour, and that concerns Trump. Do you believe that Trump has already succeeded in a coup?
No. I think he has sort of a ragtag following, and I think everything he does has a sort of ragtag feel about it, like his Trump University. You know, I've warned people about the dangers of Trump, but right now I don't think he's the leading danger. And I think what's going to happen, unfortunately, I think a lot of people are going to feel the way I do in one form or another, and they'll make their personal decision of whether they're going to abstain from voting or they're going to actually be pushed into the arms of the Republican Party. But I have a friend in California, for example, who voted for Larry Elders, who he thought was an abominable candidate, but it was literally a matter of his livelihood. If Gavin Newsom won, which he did, and that immediately turned around and implemented more vaccine mandates, but if he won, then a lot of people would just simply by the result of that election lose their jobs. So what are those thousands and thousands of people supposed to think and feel? They've literally been attacked by a political party. And those actions, I think, are going to push people into the arms of Trump. Some people will just abstain from voting altogether. And I think many people will be pushed right into Trump's arms. And as a matter of fact, I have a good friend who lives in Georgia, and she's a single black woman, single mother, who's a successful woman, a businesswoman, who, you know, drives her own car, owns her own house. And she was saying for months and months before the election, I'm voting for Trump because he's not going to have the mandates. And I thought that was kind of odd. I didn't quite understand her perspective. I said, well, no, Trump is really bad and Biden is really bad. I voted Green Party myself here in New York State. I don't know what I would have done if I lived in a so-called swing state. But I did vote third party here. But it turns out my friend was somewhat of a prophet, because she said, as far as I'm concerned, they're both racist. I don't care what anybody says. I think they both have a track record of racism, and I'm just voting for the person who's not going to issue the vaccine mandates, which is amazing that she knew that so well, because Biden also said there will not be mandates. He said that just a few months ago. And Pelosi as well said, we cannot mandate. And what did they do? They just turned right around and did the opposite of what they said, like politicians do so well. So I for one have been completely Biden alienated from the Democratic Party.
Could Biden and the Democratic Party begin to overcome some of the impediments they put in their own way and alienating people?
I don't think
people?
So. I don't think so. I think they're full speed ahead on this agenda. I think their agenda is, you know, it doesn't make sense. They're doing so many things that just don't make sense. Like, for example, forcing people who have already had COVID to get a vaccination for something they've already had or lose their job. Or the people who have had one shot of the vaccination had a horrible reaction, and that's why they don't want to take the second one. They were all ready to get vaccinated. They had a terrible experience. Are you going to say, like, some sort of hazing process? They have to take their second shot? They say, no, my body didn't react to that well. Now, they can't go to the movies. They can't go to it. The whole thing is so crazy. There's so many things that just do not make sense. A list of 1,000 things, and they're just very blindly saying, no, we are going to do this. Like, for example, Newsom in California mandating for the next school year COVID vaccines for any child who wants to attend school K-12. It's not even authorized for K yet. So what are you doing? I mean, why are you doing things anachronistically on purpose? Just like saying, oh, here, you can take it. We're going to give this to people by the tens of millions, but it's not FDA approved yet. Oh, now it's FDA approved. That doesn't mean anything now because you've already administered this, which is a big problem of what we're facing now, I think, is that we've gone so full speed ahead on this. I don't see people very eagerly retracting their positions and admitting to the mistakes they've made. We had two top-ranking FDA officials who just resigned. What's going on? The Australian Prime Minister just resigned. They're saying, oh, it's all like personal stuff, people, you know, in hot tub type of stuff. No, there was huge bribery going on with Pfizer and high-ranking members of the Australian government. And I bet pretty much every government in the world, they're implementing the biosecurity state. It's the best kind of business in the world. You have forced customers, so everyone has to be your customer, and they're going to be repeat customers now with your boosters and with your various pharmaceutical products you're going to need to repair yourself in reaction to the side effects of their novel products. So I think it's just something that's above and beyond Trump and above and beyond Biden. And as cretinous as Trump is, unfortunately, the Democrats are thrusting people right into his arms.
Thank you very much, Jeremiah, for your call today.
And I'll say one last little thing. I don't even plan on particularly voting, but you cannot get my vote if you have not spoken out against mandates. And if you do speak out against mandates, I'll even hold my nose about other things that you said, and I'll vote for you. I've never voted for a Republican in my life. I'm actually not planning on it. But if someone, whatever their label happens to be, says, we can't have these mandates anymore, this is crazy, okay, well, you got my vote for that one. And if you're not addressing it, you cannot have my vote.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in and for contributing so meaningfully today.
Thank you.
888-874-4888. Positive. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, the truth.
Good afternoon.
I first want to say that, as the brother Dick Gregory said and said before him, if you vote for lesser of two evils, you're still evil. And it's sad that people have come to that conclusion. You know, I guess they have been hijacked, in a sense, bamboozled or brainwashed to think like that. Also, I'd ask you, Therese, the statement you made about Trump factually, for a fact, taking over the government. Can you explain that?
When I say he's taking over the government, he's taking over the leadership role normally associated with the person elected to be leader. That is a president. Nobody elected him president. He's not president of the United States, yet he's making foreign policy. He's not president of the United States, yet he's making national priorities, telling people what ought to happen. And they're taking heed, including Democrats. He has not stopped being president in his head. He's still president. he still can call the shots. And even if people dismiss one or two or three of his suggestions or initiatives, he's still going ahead and enacting these things as policies. And the Republican Party has not indicated that it is capable of making up its own mind, and that it has, and that Trump isn't it. They're going along with him. They're agreeing with everything he says. So he is protected in a way that most politicians have to fight like hell to get that kind, that level of protection. You got to run for office. You got to keep office. You got to do all kinds of things to keep people happy. He's doing it. So he has taken over the role. In fact, he hasn't given up his role at all as president. He's still continuing to express his opinions about, you know, national matters and concerns as if anybody asked him. But they're listening to him.
Right. I'm glad you clarified that for me, from your point of view, how you see that. And on a lot of I concur with you. I said, I'm glad you clarified that for me, what you meant by that. On a lot of it, I concur with you. I would also concur with Brother Eric from Queens, I think his name is, and that
yes.
I see it from the point of view of a casino, and that regardless who wins, the house rules. And I'm saying that regardless of who's in the White House, who's occupying the chair of the president or vice president, those that are overseeing them really dictate policy. That's why when you vote for a particular person, be it Democrat or Republican, actually at times you see them change on their so-called proclamation they made to the public before they became elected to that office, because they are people that tell them what to do. And they only, anything, act as an executive to the decisions that come down to them. But that's my point of view. But I'm glad you explained it to me, you know, why you said that when you got on to that one, so I'm taking it. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Interesting discussion today. And what brings to my mind the most important thing is for the people to understand this country from its very start. With the Constitution was never meant to be democracy. So I, as someone has said that at one time this was a democracy, I'd like that was. From its start to its very day, its creation by an elite group of people, mostly slaveholders, when was the intention to, why would they have the intention to make this a democracy? This is not a democracy, and democracy under American capitalism and imperialism. So we don't have a democracy, even though people lie all the time talking about democracy that we do not have. This country is run by the rich and powerful and oligarchs at the top, and they run it. We don't have any party system. We have one party with two divisions, and both controlled by all the powerful forces in the country, the finance people, the bankers, the insurance, the manufacturers. They control the place. The Congress does not function to do what the people need or want. It functions to serve those people who pay for them to be in the Congress. So this illusion of a democracy is nothing but an illusion. So let's deal with that. Understand that the trick is to make you think you have a democracy and you don't have anything like it. So I think people need to learn that and get that through their head, Republican or Democrat. the people are not the ones who are supposed to get the good things. The people who rule are in charge.
All right. We'll have to leave it there today because we're out of time. Thank you all for contributing, and let's meet up again tomorrow and continue the conversation. Bye-bye.